All right, gals, shall we shall we party rock?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
We fill it.
So you'll spill it.
What will it be tonight?
Red.
Or white.
A Zen, a blend of burgundy.
Drink
wine.
Spill tea.
Hey everybody, I'm CJ.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm the intern.
And this is Drink Wine, Spill Tea. The podcast where we talk about anything and everything but with a sense of humor.
So pour yourself a glass of wine.
Put in your AirPods.
And let's spill some tea.
Virtual clink.
Carly, that was very clever of you. I appreciated that.
I do.
Just say, it's been known to happen.
Oh, thanks. It's been known to happen.
Okay, you can't tell her what to say when we're recording.
Why not?
Everyone can hear that.
No, but it's good because no one can tell us apart anyway. So if Jamie tells me what to say, people will then know it's me speaking.
That's true. Maybe people think that you're just talking to yourself.
I am.
I am.
Shut up. We are still remote. The good news is that I do not have COVID anymore.
That's official?
That is official. Well, I mean...
The tests have come back?
Well, you actually can't get tested again for 90 days after you've had COVID.
Oh, my God.
Because it will continuously show up positive. And legally, if you have a positive test result, you have to quarantine. So, like, if I had a positive test result, they would be like, okay, you have to quarantine again, even though I technically don't have it anymore. But because,
but
like...
But wait, how do you know that you don't have it anymore then?
Because after 10 days, you're not contagious. So, like, it's still, like, in my system, but, like, I have no way of spreading it to anyone. And I'm not sick anymore. It doesn't have to – it's not, like, for sure, like, 90 days. Like, I could get a test in a week and it might come back negative. But because the antibodies are still, like, fresh in there for a while, it'll still show up as a COVID test, like, a positive test.
Huh.
I know.
Okay.
I didn't know that either. But yeah, me and Jocelyn are both healthy again. She quarantined for a full 2 weeks on accident because they told her the wrong date that she was done.
Oh.
And I quarantined for 10 days. So now we're both feeling healthy, not contagious. And we're back to licking people's faces and poles. You're lucky I didn't come there because I would have licked your face. So that's my news, ladies.
Well, you know, our news. Honestly, nothing. Oh, but I do have news. Big news, everyone. Big news. So you all know that I have told CJ that he has to watch because I watched Drag Race and watched all of Gossip Girl. CJ now has to watch Broad City. I'm changing it, everyone. I'm changing it. He needs to watch Fleabag because he hasn't watched it yet. It's only 2 seasons.
And it's really good.
And I think he would, really enjoy it because the first season is really good. But the second season is phenomenal.
So
the first episode of the second season, right? Is stupid.
What streaming platform is it on?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Amazing. I have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to love it.
I was also told today that I will love Broad City. So I feel more confident.
You will.
I feel confident about it because somebody that isn't you told me I would like it.
Listen, Clayton, when have I ever recommended a show for you that you weren't like, this is good?
Well, I think you've only actually recommended one show to me.
Ozark?
2 shows. Ozark and also the one about... they're like assassins.
The fuck assassins? Killing Eve?
Keep going.
No, it's like very Jewish.
Hunters. Yeah, okay. So fucking
it's very Jewish.
Tried really hard not to say the word
where
Jew.
Where they hunt the Jews.
Yeah. Assassins. Jesus Christ.
Well,
okay, yeah.
Honestly, but I forgot it was about Nazis until this minute. So.
Like, I'm not gonna recommend you watch anything that I know that you won't enjoy. Like, I'm not gonna tell you to watch, like, Parks and Rec and, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because I know that's, like, not your thing.
Yeah.
But I think you will thoroughly enjoy, like, Fleabag is insanely incredible, and you will love it. And Broad City, it's, like, it's funny, but it's humor that's, like, right up our alley. Like,
okay,
like,
good.
You will die.
Are you a part of the Bridgerton fan club?
I will say that, like, I enjoyed watching Bridgerton, but it wasn't, like, I wasn't, like, obsessed with it.
Carly, tell him. Yeah.
But it's the modern day, Victorian era Gossip
Girl.
Wait,
it's not the modern day. It's the Victorian
era. No, I know, but I said modern day because it's right now. The show just came out, but Victorian era. Catch up.
You're right. It definitely is. I just feel like it wasn't, like, people were, like, so obsessed with it when it came out. I was, like, ready to be blown away. And I was like, this is definitely good. But I'm not, like, gagged.
Is it because of the sensual scandal and all of that stuff that people think that it's off the charts because it has the sex appeal?
Yes.
That everyone...
I think that people like it because it's literally, like, watching porn.
Mm-hmm.
And Shonda Rhimes made it.
She did?
Yeah, and the music is, like, brilliant in it.
And the costumes are beautiful, and everyone looks great.
Yeah.
And Julie Andrews is Gossip Girl.
Right. But is the plot actually good? Like, we don't really know. Because are you actually paying attention to the plot? No. You don't know what they're saying. You have no clue what they're saying. You are truly waiting for the sex scenes and then scrolling through Instagram.
I know some of what they're saying. Just to throw it out there.
Name six things that they said.
They said...
I think no spoilies.
Yeah, no spoilies. No spoilies.
Okay.
I
think if you have seen it, I think the girl who's she's shorter, she wears the yellow dress a lot. I forgot. No, Penelope is her name. The
red hair.
Penelope. Is she in Dairy Girls?
I actually never watched Dairy Girls.
Neither have I.
I don't think I've seen the full first season, but it is funny.
My friend looks dead ass like that girl. And so you know how the, like, Bridgerton TikTok musical has been, like, a thing now?
Oh, my God, yeah.
So, like, all of those songs, she's been, like, covering the Penelope girl. And a bunch of people have been commenting on her videos being like, oh, my God, I literally thought this was her for, like, months before realizing that it wasn't the actress. And so she's, like, blowing up now because everybody thought that it was the actress, but it's really Gwen.
Well, that's cool.
You find your doppelganger, you run with it, you become a hit.
I know. My doppelganger was unfortunately Ellen DeGeneres, and she is getting canceled, so I am also getting canceled. So that's really unfortunate for me.
It is unfortunate for you. Unfortunate for us is that our doppelganger is each other.
Yes.
And neither of you are famous. Has made it big. Yeah.
So it really just sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks all around.
Sucks all around.
But you know what? At least we have this highly successful podcast.
And it is highly successful.
It is.
Yes. Highly sought after. Carly, I would love to know your opinion on, because you just recently finished Gossip Girl, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I would love to briefly know your opinion on this series as a whole, as well as how it was wrapped up.
So that's a lot of answer wrapped into one little question.
It is.
Oh my God. I started the first season a few years ago. I was like, oh, I'll start it again. And I honestly just kind of skipped through the parts that I found kind of annoying. And but then sometimes I'd watch, like, the full episode. I'd be like, whoa. But I just think with shows like that, and just shows in general, you don't, like, in real life, there are a group of friends. And you can, like, branch out, meet new people, and maybe they have relationships. But I just feel like in shows, you have to, everyone has to sleep with each other and be in a relationship. Like, Grey's Anatomy, everyone has to die.
Yeah.
Every single person, because it's in a hospital. Everyone has to sleep with each other in Gossip Girl because it's gossip and it's a scandal. Like, I thought it was fun. I thought it was fine. Could you give me a more specific question so I can craft an answer?
Oh, well, no. Carly, what do you think of Dan being Gossip Girl?
I think it makes sense.
Oh, really?
What did I say that was so interesting? I thought it made sense because he is a writer. I mean, he's the one who wants to be a part of the their world the most.
Yeah.
Even though he makes it seem like he doesn't. The first post was about Serena. Like, it, I don't know, it makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of people clocked that the first post was about Serena, and everyone was like, it kind of does make sense. It's just that we all, like, expected it to be somebody different the whole time. So when it
wasn't, we all wanted it to be Dorota.
I did. I really did.
I mean, also, if you look in the season, every time they're like, who is Gossip Girl or something, the next shot is a close-up of Dan.
I would love to go back, because I don't remember. I never read the books, but I would, like, love to, like, go back and, like, read them now and see, like, did they ever figure out who Gossip Girl is? Because I don't think that they did. Like, I don't think that that was, like, the point of the book. I feel like the point of the book was more just, like, Gossip Girl was, like, a narrator of sorts, which is kind of, like, what I expected for the whole show. And I kind of feel like it just, like, randomly took a turn, and they were like, we want to figure out who it is to be dramatic. And I was like, I guess.
Oh, they have to. The book, if you don't find out, you're like, oh, it's okay. Like,
right.
I don't know. I just feel like you're it's different when you're seeing the real life people and you're like, okay, I have to know who it is. Which bitch is it?
Yeah, I get that. But I, to your point, I do think that that is so funny about, like, TV shows in general, like, especially Grey's Anatomy or, like, Gossip Girl, where it's like they all just, like, fuck each other. And, like, really in real life, that's, like, not the case, because, like, you would never just, like, date somebody in your friend group and then move on and then date somebody else in your friend group and then just all be okay and, like, hang out.
No,
still,
no,
and,
you,
like,
would not be okay. While I really appreciated and enjoyed Dan and Blair's friendship, I thought them having a friendship was really cool because they were both interested in, like, French films and thought that was nice. They had
and
but
art.
They don't need to fucking, because, oh, my God, yeah. They don't need to fucking is first.
Yes, they don't need
they
to
don't
fucking.
Need, no, then they don't need to be in a relationship, because also it, like, the wedding and she's like, I love Chuck, but then really, oh, okay, I'm going to go to this other person and, oh my God.
Yeah.
It is just doesn't make any sense.
I agree. That was my least favorite part about it.
Yeah.
Well, I was just curious what you thought, because we didn't get to talk about it when we talked about the finale.
Yes, well.
Thank you for your expertise. Shall we dive right in?
Yes.
We've
gathered you all here today.
Yes?
It's better when CJ explains it.
Yeah, I'm amazing. So we're going to talk about your favorite topic of discussion that apparently will be a never-ending season, because you guessed it, the show will never die. RuPaul's Drag Race, which they just announced a bunch of, like spin-off franchises. Not, like, spin-off, but, like, so now the Australia one is coming. They've already done Thailand and Holland, but there's going to be España.
España.
Which we're going to have to watch, obviously.
Because we will understand it.
Right.
Because we've been there once.
Yeah, we are Spanish.
It's all too much Drag Race for me to keep up with. Because, so Carly and I just last night are officially caught up on America, UK, and Canada. We've now officially, we finished the season of UK and we're all caught up. So, and it took so long. It took like a year.
Yeah, it's a lot of commitment. I feel like I probably honestly won't watch Australia too. Like, I definitely won't watch Australia as it's on. If it all comes out and I want to watch it one day, sure. And maybe I'll do the same with Thailand and Holland. But I also just, I've heard that, like, the humor in those franchises is, like, hard to follow because we're just like, we don't get it.
Yeah.
But
also, when Cotney Act was on, I could barely understand one word she said. So how am I supposed to listen to all of them? Because they'll all be like,
apparently their looks, though, not for Australia, because that hasn't been out yet, but for season one of Thailand and Holland, apparently their looks are some of, like, the best looks to ever be on Drag Race, which I fully believe.
Yeah, I believe that.
But they also,
I think,
what, Carly?
Sorry. No, I was just saying you could maybe just watch and just, like, watch their looks and watch the challenges.
Just watch the runway.
Appreciate the runways for what they are.
Yeah.
But also there's like All-Star 6 coming out, and there's rumors about the All-Winners season. And they just
I knew it. I called it.
And they just decided that they're doing international All-Stars too. So that means that it's going to be All-Stars, but US, UK, Canada, Holland, Thailand, all of them. And it's like rumored that it's going to be Jujubee, Manila, Monique. So all the people that did well on all of their many seasons that they were on but never won. And then
Manila coming on for like a 12th season.
Literally.
Yeah.
Manila and Jujubee. And then those are the only U.S. queens. Lemon.
Yes.
Jimbo. Blue Hydrangea.
Jimbo.
Cheryl Hole. I think those are the only ones that we would know.
Jimbo.
So I'm excited about it. I think it's cool that they're doing that because now that like everyone is so invested in like Canada and UK, I feel like those queens, like we want to see them come back. So like I'm excited for them.
That's what I've been saying. I was like, I want winners All-Stars. And I haven't been saying that about the international one, but that is super, super freaking cool.
What I'm interested about, like, I'm intrigued is that, like, so are they going to be two separate things? Like, is there going to be, like, All-Stars and then international All-Stars? Or is it going to be that, like, international contestants are now on All-Stars? You know what I mean? Because none of the contestants that are rumored for that are from, like, season 12 or anything like that. They're all, like, very well-known seasoned drag queens that have been with the show for, like, a long time. So it's, like, I'm wondering if it's going to be, like, International All-Stars season 1 and then also, like, All-Stars 7 or something. You know what I mean? So I'm
interested. That is interesting.
That.
Yeah, that is interesting. I also saw something that was, like, they're going to do it in a new format.
Yeah.
Where it's like the audience, at the end of every week, they do a live show and then the audience decides the bottom two and then Rue decides who chassés away.
Oh my God.
I'm really hoping that is not real because I've seen stuff about that too, only because like I saw a tweet. First of all, they need to stop switching up the format. The format has been fine for years and nobody has been mad about it. I don't want to switch it up.
Yeah.
Second of all, if they do that for All-Stars, I wouldn't be mad because that's like, I don't know, it's kind of like a different thing. It's like kind of fun. But I like the idea that the queens are the ones that decide who goes home. But anyway, so I think that like, I hope that they don't do that because I saw this tweet that was like, ah, yes, let's give the toxic fans even more power. Like,
that's what I'm saying. The fans, honestly, the fans of the show do not deserve it. Mm-mm. They are so mean to queens who they either disagree with or they don't think are that great, which is all based on their opinion anyways. The fans do not deserve to have that much power.
Because
I think if they do have that much power, they'll use it even more. They'll take advantage of it even more than they already do.
Well, okay.
Maybe Denali would have stayed.
I know. Ugh, literally. So let's get into that, though, because I feel like that kind of ties in with, like, the UK season 2 finale. So you're caught up. I don't remember where we last talked about it, but let's talk about, like, I don't remember. Do you remember what queen went home when we talked about it last?
No, I have no idea. But as an overall just assessment of UK season 2, I will say awesome. Loved it.
It's one of the best seasons of Drag Race to ever happen.
Yeah, so incredible. Everyone was so good. Loved their craft. You know what I mean? I thought it was great. The top four, I agreed with everyone except Ellie Diamond. But at the same time, you're 21. Even though Lawrence Cheney is only 2 years older.
Right?
That was the thing. They were all like, oh my God, you're so young. But I'm like, Lawrence?
Lawrence won. Lawrence is 56.
And is only 2 years older. Like, you can't, like, it doesn't stop being so amazed with Ellie. Lawrence is only 2 years older.
Anyways, but like Ellie Diamond was 21, but she was probably really like 25. But like Lawrence Cheney was like 23, but actually 56.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
she said the thing that she was like, there's nothing like greater than a matured Scottish lady. It was so funny. I'm like,
what did you just say? But I so yeah. First of all, I think that just like in general, the queens on UK season two. Well, I thought that UK season one, like everyone was like, you have to watch it. It's so good. I watched it and I was kind of like, eh, I don't know. Like, I mean, like I'm glad there's another one, but like that I can watch. But like, I didn't really care that much about them. UK mm-hmm. season two was like so beyond elevated. I was so excited, and it was so refreshing to have that after season 13 has been like a million years long, and honestly, so just like I'm ready for it to be done. Like
I've aged. The fact that
UK season 2 started after season 13 and finished before is ridiculous, and they took a hiatus because of COVID. That's disgusting.
That was. I want to talk about that episode because that was an incredible episode. When they get back, they shut down and everyone, like, I cannot imagine you're filming this show, you have no contact with the outside world, and then all of a sudden you're like, there's a virus and we're shutting down. Go. And then you get, like, let go into this, like, dystopian world that you left. And you're like, what the fuck? And then you don't come back. Like, that to me, I, like, literally, both Carly and I looked at each other. We were like, oh, chills. Chills.
Well, and also, like, again, like, that episode was so good and interesting. And then the U.S. version of whatever they did was so boring and pointless. And I was like, I didn't need this. And they could have just dropped it with an episode, like a normal episode, like UK did. Like, they dropped the COVID episode in tandem with a normal episode. So that way we can watch and learn and be like, oh my God, wow, that was chilling. And then yep. still enjoy the normal episode. But like with US, of course, they had to drag it out for like 3.5 weeks to find out that one person was eliminated. It was just like so boring. But I really, yeah. I liked the COVID episode too for UK.
Yeah. And I also loved seeing these queens because also you could tell that all of them got better too. Like Tia Coffey, I was like, this bitch, but she's hilarious, has an incredible personality, is gorgeous. She just needs help with the fashion aspect.
Yeah.
But once she gets help with that, I think she's going to be unstoppable because her personality and her face are stunning. You agree, Carly?
I do agree. I think her pterodactyl was, it made me cackle a little bit, but I think that she showed her body and it was great that she did so.
When she came out as an ice cream cone, Carly was like, oh no.
I think that Tia Coffey is very funny. I think that she lasted probably 3, maybe 4 weeks longer than she needed to.
Yeah.
And that's saying something. Like, and it had nothing to do, like, it's not like that she wasn't good, but like the fact that other people went home before her, I was like, you have got to be kidding.
The thing that made me a little sad, that saddened me a little, was Joe Black, because I had such high hopes for Joe Black, and Joe Black had some really creative and stunning looks, but then
wore an H&M dress. You know, yeah. It's so funny, because I texted you, like, this is when I wasn't caught up, and I was like, what the hell is going on with this H&M? And you were like, don't worry, it's UK season two. And I was like, oh. So I was waiting for it the whole time, and then when she whispered, it's from H&M, I was like, oh my God, it's about to happen. And I felt so bad for Joe Black, because why can't you get your shit from H&M if you make it better?
Well,
like, if you
make it good. She didn't make it better.
Okay. Also, it was something that she just bought and put on, but just real quick, that Astina won week one with an ASOS jacket.
True. Astina also was gorgeous, and I can't believe that she went home as early as she did.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Same. I was gooped.
I know. I also was, like, sad that Victoria, is that her name?
Oh, yeah.
That she wasn't able to come back because she had COVID. That made me sad. But it's cool that she's going to be able to come back for season three. So she's, like, automatically in season three.
Yeah, that's nice.
So that's like a nice
Eureka
moment.
And I like when Lawrence Chaney was like, God help the season three girls when you come back.
I know.
Or something like that.
I saw her being in the top four, or at least top five. I thought that she was great. Yeah. And she was like cute, quirky. Speaking of like people like after the COVID stop, personally, I feel like Lawrence Chaney took like a big decline after the hiatus, and I think that
Bimini,
that's when Bimini stepped it the fuck up.
I love Bimini.
One of the best queens that I've ever seen on this franchise, on this show, period. Like, so cool. Bimini
was astounding.
I had my concerns just in the beginning because her tuck was showing in her skimpy outfit, and I thought I was gonna love her, but then like she just wasn't as polished as some of the other girls, so I was unsure. But then she came back, and I thought that she was fucking incredible. Yeah. I love her, and I feel like maybe one of the reasons she didn't win is because they thought that Lawrence Janney would have a quote more interesting Hollywood show that she would create herself.
That's I've heard that as well. I also like people were saying like, oh, Lawrence Chaney won because she's, like, a bigger queen and stuff. And I'm like, that's not why we should have queens win. Like, I think that, like every background, like, every size, like, every color, like, should be represented. And, like, if you're the best, you should win. But that's tokenism. Like, that's not...
She's the first bigger queen to win. So it's not like...
I don't know. I don't think that's the only reason why she won. I don't think Lawrence Chaney. My picks to win were Lawrence Chaney or Bimini. I was like, I will be fine with either of those two queens because I think that they both deserved it. And you know, Bimini can come back and win international All Stars or like UK All Stars. Like Bimini's career is just getting started.
No, totally.
As well as Lawrence Chaney's. But yeah, I was going to be totally fine and happy with either two.
I was definitely like, I knew it was going to be one of the two. And I think that they're the only two that like truly deserved it. But even just based off of like the last half of like the whole series or the whole season, like I just felt like her drag was not as good as what Bimini was showing. And even if you're basing it solely off the lip sync, she was the worst out of the three. Like if you're basing off the lip sync, Tace destroyed both Bimini and Lawrence. I don't think Tace should have won. But what I'm saying is that like if you're basing it off of the majority of the season, like wins, stuff like that, and then you're also basing it off of the lip sync, which is what they're saying that they base it off of, even though that's always a lie, she like should have been third. Like, if you're basing it off of that. Well, that's not true, because Tace, like, didn't win a single time. But,
yeah.
But either way, I mean, like, I'm happy for her. And, like, what I was saying earlier is that, like, she got, like, a lot of hate after she won because everyone was like, it should have been Bimini and stuff. And people were, like, being, like, mean about her winning. And that's just, like, not fair. And, like, it's I'm like, so yo, like, up. They're going to stop making this fucking show, which is a really beautiful space for queer people. And people like Bimini or Gottmik or... you know, whatever, aren't able to express themselves freely because all you're doing is hating. Like, you can have your favorites and support them and still be nice about other queens winning. Like, I'm thrilled that she won. I mean, like, I wish that it would have been Bimini, but I'm not like, fuck her, she should kill herself. Like, just, like, stupid.
It's horrible. It's horrific. That's what I'm saying. If these fans are given the power to veto people, like... they're not even given that power right now. Imagine, like, how much worse things are going to get. It's insanity to me.
Has quarantine spiked more negative comments towards queens?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of, like, since I feel like season 11 and season 12 were, like, really the start of it when people, like, really started... like tweeting about it and like posting things to their stories and stuff like that.
Fifi O'Hare had and Roxy got like really bad, like
definitely
cyberbullying, like and the Vixen and like all those, like the three of them got it bad.
No, definitely. I feel like though recently, like these past few seasons have like really seen like us. I don't know if I would say a spike, but like it's been like light has been brought to it because. Again, like Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that are so prominently involved in the culture of Drag Race now that like queens are on Cameo and like their fame really comes from like their social media presence and stuff like that. It doesn't really come from the show. And, you know, like I think that a lot of it was like Gigi was like so popular on the show and then like other people were doing better and like other people won. And so like people were mad, like things like that. Where I do feel like there kind of has been like a spike. But I also think that it's just, like, always been there and people are just, like, bored. You know, and now, like, voicing it more because there's so much content.
I guess people feel connected to – you can feel connected to a person through social media and not know a single thing about them. Mm-hmm. And so you say Gigi had a huge following before she got to Drag Race, right?
Yeah, totally.
And so if she wasn't winning as much as people wanted to, I can see how people get – personally offended, even though they don't even know this person.
Yeah.
And it's some sort of weird, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, territorial?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, and I totally get that. Like, I mean, when Jan wasn't, like, winning challenges on her season, like, I was personally, like, mad. Like, and that's ridiculous. Like, we weren't even, like, we barely knew each other at that point. Like, that's stupid for me to be, like, upset about it. But, like, she was the one who I wanted to do well on the season. So I'm like, I get it to a certain extent, but like, I also would never like message Widow and be like, kill yourself because you sent Jan home. Like, that's just fucked. Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's a TV show. It is literally a reality show.
Yeah, and it's only doing good for these queens. Like, it's only getting them exposure and experience. And I just, I don't understand that. But moving on from that, who I was shocked to go home in UK was Ahura.
I
thought she might win or make top four at least.
Ahura 100% should have been top four. When they were doing UK Hun and that was the group, I was like, well, you can say hello to your top four. Like, this is it. Like, they're incredible. Yeah. First of all, UK Hun is also the biggest bop that has ever existed in the world. But, like, I was so flabbergasted at them keeping Ellie Diamond around that long. Flabbergasted. Not to say that she's bad. Her makeup is honestly some of the most incredible, like,
it's incredible.
Like, beat that I've seen on that show. But to say that she was better than Ahura was just incorrect, in my opinion. Like, it just didn't add up. But and then to keep
I
her.
I wonder if it was.
Double save?
I wonder if it was that raunchy joke that Ahura told. I want to hear what she said so bad.
It's RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, I just don't understand. Like, fuck the BBC. You're already not paying them. Let them say whatever the fuck they want.
They're not paid for being on that show.
No, that's why they get Ru-Peter badges instead of $100,000.
No. Did you mean, like, get paid every week to be on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, they may get, like, paid, but I don't think that you really make that much money for just being on the show. So they probably get paid for that, but, like, they don't win money.
No. Yes, they win hugs.
Yeah, which is stupid.
Well, no, it's not stupid. It's just how we do it in America, because that's what we find important.
Well, yeah,
in UK, I don't know why they don't win money, but I don't know. I mean, the British Bake Off, they win a glass plate. And that is the best. They also get really famous. Maybe they get, are they really famous in the UK afterwards?
I don't think as big as it is here. Maybe because it's like a smaller pool of, like, A, drag queens, and B, like, people, period. But, like, I don't know.
The bakers get very famous in British Bake Off.
Maybe they value baking over drag culture.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But yeah, Ahura was fantastic. Honestly, I think, again, she's one of the best, like, fashion queens I've seen on the show. I bought one of her t-shirts, the one of her ass just, like, fully out in a thong. And I was like, yeah, give it to me. I want it.
Also, she, like, broke my heart. She was just, like, a little cutie. And she was just like, when Ahura's around, I have a best friend. I was like, oh, my God, this is so sad. She just looked like a little puppy.
Yeah, I loved her. I loved her and Tace's friendship. I also loved Tace. I thought Tace was great.
Loved Tace.
I thought Tace was great.
Tace is so funny because she was so shady but never 100% serious about it.
She was never mean.
No. And she would always give, like, the camera this, like, she'd be, like, sassy and then give the camera a look. And you're like, oh, she's joshing. She's just joking.
Yeah. I really liked them a lot. There were a lot of queens that I really liked on that. Like, I'm excited to see them on an international All-Stars or something of that nature.
Yeah, I'm surprised Ginny Lemon came back.
Oh, my God. You are Ginny Lemon.
I am not Ginny Lemon. How dare you?
You are Ginny.
You know what? Vinny said that you were Ginny Lemon.
No.
Why are
no.
people saying that we are Ginny Lemon?
Because Ginny Lemon is short and weird.
In the finale, her dancing in the back, she's like 8 feet shorter than the other queens, and she's like
with her fish slip-ons.
You're telling me that if you were a drag queen, you wouldn't be like that weirdo? You would have like a full crocheted dress.
I maybe Ginny Lemon is Jamie, but I think I would be like Crystal Method or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you.
Jamie, she literally didn't want to lip sync, so she left. That is
that is true. I'd be like,
you'd be like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to win. She was like, okay, bye. She waved and left.
Oh, God.
You're Ginny Lemon.
Fine.
Okay, so that was UK season 2. I was very excited about it. I looked forward to it every Thursday. Let's get down to the longest pandemic in history, RuPaul's Drag Race season 13.
God, where's Denali?
Where's
yeah,
Denali?
We're so sad to not. Yeah, we're sad she left.
Her beast outfit. Her beast.
Would have been so good.
Oh my God. It's amazing. Every time Jamie has like put it in front of me a few times, and every time I'm like, God, it's more amazing than the last time I saw it.
Yeah, and when Tina Burner got eliminated, Carly and I audibly gasped.
Didn't think that she was going to get eliminated?
Not yet, because Utica's been in the bottom like 3 times.
Utica, and Tina Burner Utica is showing so much more than Tina Burner ever has, though.
Yes. I do think I love Utica's just in space ideas that she brings to Earth. I think that maybe a little more like clarity in each galaxy idea would be nice.
Oh,
but
totally.
I do agree that she has shown more versatile things, because Tina Burner does what she does. Utica has a plethora. She has like worlds among worlds in her head.
And she's making her own stuff, and it's all so original. And while it is like weird and like out there and sometimes maybe doesn't land, she's doing something. Well, Tina Burner literally like went to like Party City and said, I need everything that you have in red and orange and yellow. And they said, okay, and gave it to her. And that's what she brought to RuPaul's Drag Race.
Utica is bringing forward a new, I had a better sentence to say, but I completely forgot it. But she is bringing something new to the table every single week and every single thing that she says and does, whereas Tina Burner is good at what she does and is not bringing really something completely new.
Like, again, by no means do I think Tina Burner is, like, untalented. Like, she's clearly very popular in New York.
She's great.
And she does really well. But for somebody of her level, where everybody knows who she is and she's made a huge name for herself in New York, I have been severely underwhelmed since the very beginning.
Yeah, but you know, but this kind of show might not be for everyone.
Totally.
You know, she's extremely talented.
She doesn't have an audience.
Well, I think that was Britta's fault, or not Britta's fault, Britta's problem, too, is that she came
in. These seasoned queens are used to an audience.
Yeah, and she came into it thinking, like, well, I'm a hit in New York, and everyone knows me there, and everybody loves me there. I'm obviously going to be a hit, but, like, also sometimes on TV, it's just, like, different. And, of course, the way they edit it, but.
Yeah. And I think Rosé has adapted a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely. Rosé.
I love Rosé.
Killing it. And I didn't. Like, yeah. I knew that she made it pretty far, but I did not think that she was going to be doing as well as she is. And honestly, I think she's going to be in the top.
Well, because she also is gradually ascending.
Yeah.
She's just like gradually doing better and better and better. And that's like one of the points of the show for queens, I think, is to learn and get better and become a more evolved performer and drag queen in person.
And
liking her looks more and more too. Me too. I would like love Rosé during the week, and then she would walk the runway, and I was like, but, like, why are you wearing that? You're so much better than that.
Yeah.
But these past, I think, 2 weeks, I've been like, yes, you look fantastic.
Ever since the Rusical episode, I've been like, you're killing it. I think she's easily top four, maybe top three. And depending on how they edit it, based on, like, obviously, like, it's recorded later and they do multiple endings. But, like, based on how they go with it, I could see them having her win, too. I think that she'll definitely be an option.
I can see, but Simone's beast.
Oh my God.
I would put money down that she would win.
Here is what I will say, though. Simone is definitely, like, she's my favorite. Well, Gottmik is my favorite of the season, but if not Gottmik, then
Simone. Oh, I think Gottmik might.
I forgot. Did not like her beast runway.
I thought it was fun.
I mean, I thought it was fun, but I just thought that I was like every, like, she literally bought that. And it didn't fit her face.
Simone doesn't make any of her clothes.
Well, I know, but like what I'm saying is that like other people, like that looked like something that she literally purchased. Whereas like everyone else, like even if they're not designing their clothes, like somebody else is designing them for them. But like that didn't even look like that. That literally looked like she just, again, like went to Party City and found that. I can't believe that she won that challenge with that runway. In my opinion, I was shocked.
I understand your point of view, and I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I hear it. I don't know if I have an opinion on it, but I understand your point of view.
That's okay.
Here's my opinion.
Give it to me, sweet.
It's not as creative. As other queens like Rosé's and like Gottmik's, but I just did think it was really fun.
It was
and
fun.
It did, like,
it was very Simone.
It was very fun, very Simone. It was sexy, but also you're not a human.
Right.
I just thought it was fun, not as creative and inventive, but it was just, it put a smile on your face, and it was very Simone.
Definitely. I do agree with that. And her commercial was very good. I just think that, like, Rosé's commercial and runway were both, like, top-notch. And while I'm glad that her and Simone won, I wish that Rosé would have just won.
I also, two things that I love. The first thing I love was that she wore a Jantasy robe.
Loved it.
I'm like, yes, you better rep, like, your, like, sister, like, your friend. Like, I love, love, love when people are friends and they support each other. Number two, I loved that shot when Rosé also won and she looked back at Simone and Simone was like, yeah! I just, like, love when people are friends.
Me too.
It, like, makes my heart swell. Like, that's what it's about.
Here, you know, is what I mean, I was also going to say is that, like, Denali, I feel like Denali has the opposite effect of Rosé, where it's, like, she wasn't able to, like, really shine through, even though I feel like she was genuinely showing us, like, brilliant drag and performances. I just think that it was always on the same level, and that was Jan's problem too. Like, Jan was showing us a lot of really great stuff. It's just that it was like they were seeing other people grow each week, and whether or not they were lateral in a negative or a positive way, I feel like those queens some queens just stay the same the whole time.
I think Jen was robbed in the musical episode.
Oh, 100%.
Robbed, I tell
robbed,
you.
Robbed.
Robbed.
But, like, it's funny, too, because now, like, it's, like, been, like, a joke that, like, the eighth person to go home is, like, the pretty girl exit, because season 11, it was Plastique Tiara. 12, it was Jan. And now 13, it's Denali. And it's just funny, too, because they do give all similar vibes where it's, like, they're really good. You can't say a negative thing about them. They just went home. Like, there wasn't anything wrong with what they did. But I think that Denali is going to be, like, fucking fierce competition on All Stars when she's on it.
Oh, yeah.
She's so good.
When she lip syncs,
unreal.
Like, when she's ice skating, it's, oh, She wore her fucking ice skates, like, the first episode, and did a lip sync in them.
I was pretty upset that she was in the bottom, though, the week that she went home. I think that that was not accurate.
I think they sent home the wrong girl. That's all I'll say. I have nothing against Olivia.
Oh.
I have nothing against Olivia. Except I do think she should have gone home, and I do think that she's plateauing, and I do think that she should be next to go.
I do too. I think that Olivia is stunning. I think that she's a great drag queen. Again, I have nothing negative to say about her. I think that it is her time.
Yes.
And I also am just going to like get into it. Here's where it's what's really pissing me off. And again, I have no hate towards this drag queen at all. Candy Muse is given excuse after excuse after slack after whatever you want to call it every single week. And I am over it. And it has nothing to do with the fact that she's like loud. Like I'm sick of this like narrative where it's like everyone is like coming for her because she's loud and opinionated and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I don't care that she's loud and opinionated. I care.
That's you. Who are you?
Exactly. Literally. I am the most loud and opinionated person on the planet, idiots. But I'm like, but like, I also am not mean. And she literally, her defense is to be like, actually like mean. And I'm like, calm the fuck down. Like, and also, like, you're not showing us great drag. I'm just going to be honest. Like, each week, it's not special. And other people are really showing that they're putting the effort in. And it's not that you're untalented, but, like, you're getting mad, but people are saying the truth. Like, I just don't know what to say.
Okay, so these are my thoughts. Candy Muse, I think she's on because she makes great television.
Definitely.
I do. I am a little, I would love to see her like live and stuff like that. However, on this show, I do feel like she has plateaued. I do have a lot of respect for this queen, blah, blah, blah. I will say though, her personality, I understand where she comes from. She's from the Bronx and it you can tell. Like knowing like, growing up with like a parent from the Bronx and like having family from the Bronx and like knowing it, I feel like I understand that personality well, and it's not coming from a place of trying to like tear people down. It's coming from a place of protection. You have to protect yourself, therefore you're going to say like these things. Like you're gonna bring up, no, this is how it is. They over there did this. I'm over here and I'm doing this. Like and it's not like trying to be mean. It's like, it's fact, it's fact, it's fact. It's not hard or harsh. It's just boom, 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 boom. It's straight and to the point. So it's like, I understand that personality. However, I do think that it translates on television as being really like hard, clipped, and mean. And so I think that, yes, when you are on a television show, you need to understand that and you need to, like, dial yourself and control yourself.
Well,
and
that's
like
her, though. She doesn't feel like she needs to because that's her.
Yeah.
I mean, our mother is from the Bronx, and she got kicked out of the same bar twice because her and this one bitch at the end of the bar got in a fight. And I was like, Mom, why did you fight her? She's like, she looked at me funny.
You know, it's not, like, any, like, thing about, like, tearing somebody else down, it's protecting yourself.
Of course, again,
I understand.
Well, and Candy I Muse's love attitude. That, like, about, like, her personality and her as a person. And, like, if you want to do that in Untucked or, like, in the workroom, like, absolutely clap back if that's what you need to do. Like, I'm not saying don't do that. On the runway, though, when Rue says, who do you think should go home, while they're literally going down the line and everyone is saying the same person and she is not clapping back, one person said you, when, no offense, you looked like ass.
Yeah.
Sorry, you don't get to come back with negativity. You didn't look good. You didn't look good, and you consistently don't look good. So, like, the fact that she said, I think Candy Muse, like, get over yourself. Sorry, you didn't do that great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just felt like at that moment, I was like, I don't want to hear this. Like, I don't want to – this. I'm sick of this being the Candy Muse claps back show is what I'm saying. Is that
well,
like –
maybe she'll learn
Sorry.
No. I mean, that's like, that's really it. It's just like, I'm ready. If she were able to back it up with incredible drag, I wouldn't care as much watching her narrate the entire season, because she is good TV, but like, she better than back it up with like an incredible runway look, because right now I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. Maybe she'll learn that for next time, because Denali did say to her, it wasn't because of this, it's because I couldn't, if I put my partner down, I'm going down with her.
Totally.
And she's like, oh, I understand that. So maybe Candy will learn.
Yeah. But I wish like in that moment she was also like, hey, like, yeah, no, you're right. And like, I also like got like really defensive and like I clapped back at you and like I love you, you know what I mean? Like, but she was just like, thanks for your apology. Oh, that's so sweet. Like, you know, and I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. But that's who she is. No one's gonna change in just a few weeks of Drag Race. You know, that's the thing. These people's personalities are their personalities, and we can't expect them to like all of a sudden change because we want them to behave a certain way.
Well, yeah, but that's my point, is that she's getting cut a lot of slack on a lot of things. You know what I mean? Where other queens aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I have to say about that. Again, I think that she is a talented queen. I would love to see her live. And honestly, at the beginning, I thought that she was really entertaining and I loved her first look and I loved her lip sync. I thought she was really funny. I just think that if people are going to like clap back and have like a strong voice on the show, I want them to back it up with like the talent. And right now, I just don't think she is.
Yeah.
She thinks she is.
Right. Yeah. I don't think her runway looks have ever been at the top.
I think Gottmik is truly one of the most incredible fucking queens to grace this earth.
Insane. She's insane.
She's so cool. And I love her. Yeah. I love what she represents. I think her personality is hilarious. I love her gorge. Like, she's just like, that's Gorgonzia. Like, I'm like, what are you saying?
Yeah, I think her personality is amazing. I think her looks are stunning. Her fashion sense is great. She has, like, absolutely no fear, you know? Yeah. She just completely, like,
that's kind of like Bimini.
Agreed.
Bimini and her remind me a lot of each other, yeah, just in their presence and not give a fuckery.
Right. I agree. I hope that she wins. But we'll find out in another year and a half, so.
Yeah. Because you know there's bound to be another double elimination.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll bring back, like, five of the queens and think that that's what we wanted, and we're like, actually, no.
No.
I would like all of them to get eliminated right now.
Yeah.
I need a break before the next season. But it's literally going to, like, lead up till All-Stars, and then we're all going to be like, oh, great, another one.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You're not giving us enough time to, like, want more.
I know.
Like, let me play, like, you know, too needy.
Do you guys both want Simone to win?
I don't know who I want to win. Yep.
Okay.
I don't know, because there are, if Rosé, Simone, or Gottmik won, I would be very happy.
Same. I think top four is definitely going to be those three and Candy.
No, not Candy.
She'll be top four.
Wait, is it the top five right now?
Six, because it's Olivia and Utica.
Oh, I think Utica could be up there.
I think Utica should be top four, based on who's there now. But I don't think she will be, because she's also been in the bottom twice.
Like, thrice.
Candy Muse has been in the bottom a whole bunch, too.
But she's Candy Muse. It doesn't matter. Rue is going to... Rue will push her to the top. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I think those are all my thoughts for now. I need to know exactly when you start Fleabag, and it needs to be soon.
Okay, I think I want to finish Sex and the City first, so I can, like, focus my
time. You said that.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm almost. How far are you in Sex and the City?
I have one more season after this.
Oh my God, you're flying through. Okay.
And we're going to, like, watch the movies, but I mean, like, that doesn't have to, like, I can watch Fleabag before, like, while I do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. Perfect.
Yeah. I'm, like, halfway through season five.
Amazing. Okay.
I nailed it.
Yeah. If you want to email us, you can email us at drinkwinespilltea@gmail.com, or you can follow us on any of our social. Okay. Our social medias. I've been talking all day. Like, my tongue is, like, dried out.
Our Instagram is at drinkwine_spillt, and our Twitter is at drinkwinespillt with the letter T, not the word.
Also, rate us and review us. It helps listeners find us.
Or subscribe. Send us a letter by pigeon.
I would love a letter, honestly.
If you would like to contact us any other way, don't. Or you can go through our intern. Her social security number is...
is 555-12-8595.
6. Repeating.
Mm-hmm.
And Carly, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your thoughts, your opinions, your glasses, and your weird fingers.
Anytime.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.